Connie Willis, right here, Coast to Coast AM. A reminder of those of you that surf the web all the time, we have a fantastic website and a great web design team. You cannot imagine all the things that they can just, I don't know how they can fit it all in, but we have so many great things to choose from. You can find out about our shows, our past shows, our upcoming shows, our classic shows, even somewhere in time, all of our different guests that are on, when they were on last, when they're going to be on again in the next week in the coming shows. You can find out more about George Norrie and where George Norrie is going to be next, all about his TV shows, his appearances, his anything you can imagine, we've got it here. Articles in the news, in Coast You Missed It, events, videos, the different affiliates that you can go to, YouTube, merchandise. I'm telling you, it's all there. And they've done a fantastic job with it. You can tweet and Twitter and do all that stuff too. So if you don't want to know anything about us, or if you want to know anything that would definitely be a Coast to Coast subject, well, go check it out. It's coasttocoastam.com. We are back here on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here talking with Robbie Thomas, using his abilities to assist in law enforcement, helping out agencies and families, and some incredible crimes that have been committed. And also, by the way, finding not just loved ones that have been lost, but also bringing people home, some alive. And I think that's fantastic. Robbie, with all your abilities and things like that, I mean, I know that people are constantly hounding you, of course, for the reasons of help, help, help. At the end of the day, we all have bills to pay. I know you have a book out there, obviously, that, you know, you can find on Coast to Coast AM, the link to. But do you ever, I mean, some of these cases must have rewards, and I hope that you can get those. Has that ever happened? Or, I mean, you're open to that, right? I know some people that wouldn't accept it, and I'd be like, no, take it. What do you think about that?
I've never taken a dime in reward. I've never taken it.
But why not at that point? You know what I mean? Why not then?
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, there's a lot of people who do. I mean, I have more than just one book. I have 10 books out there. I've been in a couple movies. I tour and go to conventions. Okay. I find that doing things like that and being able to, you know, get my money, if you will, that way. I also charge for my readings. You know, I do readings, so I do charge. But, you know, to help out in this aspect, I look at it as if mom and dad have to bury the child, that's an expense.
Yes, and, I agree.
You know, how can you look at a mom like, you know, little Victoria Stafford up here in Canada. Very big, high-profile case. America's Most Wanted was on it and what have you. There's a few cases I've done that America's Most Wanted, and that was filmed by America's Most Wanted back in, and is in Kentucky as well, keeping with the theme.
Holy cow.
Canada, yeah.
Terrible.
But up here in Canada, you know, I was planted in the mother's house because they were looking for Victoria. I was there when the father, they were separated, they were estranged from each other, and I was in the police station when Rodney did his lie detector test and failed. When I was talking to Detective Brown and the family, and I said, no, it's not him. We're looking for an older male and a female. And sure enough, there was an older male and a female that took Victoria from school, and they were arrested and they're in jail. You know, looking and back at that and being with the family and being down in their home and just seeing the grief and feeling that, you know, I don't know, I could never take a dime or anything from people. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't live with myself if I did.
No, great perspective. Absolutely understood. And knowing that you have the other avenues, I absolutely understand that. I know there's some people that try to, that's all they do. And it's like, no, take it when you can. But I understand totally what you're saying. And I get it. And I must say, I have volume one, So I have one of your books. So I'm hoping in the future to read some more from you. So hot dog. I knew you got some more hidden behind you. All right. Looking forward to this.
And you know, God works in mysterious ways. And you and I have discussed this. And I can't let out too much to the listeners, but I find something that's going to lead to a lot more. And it does involve television. So, you know, if you're looking at me reaching the masses, this is the way of doing it and the only way I can do it. So it was a long time coming and it was in the works for some time. So that's as much as I can release on that. But in hindsight too, you know, I'm still going to give back of everything that if I get, you know, whatever comes in, I give back always anyways. So that's just who I am. But you know, when it comes to children, and you know, it's hard. It truly is.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I kind of miss some of the things. I don't know about your phone. If you've moved into a bad area, get back into another area, and we'll let you kind of, I don't know what's changed, but we're not, I missed some words from you there. But I think what you said is something, television is coming up soon, and that's all you can say. So hopefully your phone's going to be okay there. So here's some questions outside of kind of the crime area, if I can do that. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay, because I know you're beyond, you know, you do that. But what about, do you use your ability? What are all your abilities? I mean, if you can be that specific to where you can, this is, you're going into worlds where people are lying and there's hate and there's anger and there's death. And I mean, that's, so tell me about all of your abilities and where else you use them in fun, good ways where you don't have to see death and blood and all that stuff.
Yeah. Let's go back to the end of 2017. I was filming the wrap up of a paranormal most haunted places in America TV series in Virginia. It was our last shoot. So while I'm there filming with my friend who's on sci-fi and is a great crew and what have you, I'm going to take you to a little different angle. I get a text message. My husband's in a coma. They're going to pull the plug. He's brain dead. And can you help? And I said, I'm in Virginia. And this comes from my hometown. And I said, can you ask the doctors to wait? Because I just landed Friday. I'll be home probably by Tuesday. Sure enough, and as a miracle, the doctors agreed and they waited. So I told you, you know, we're finished on Sunday and I'm driving. I drove straight through with my wife from Virginia all the way back home here and it took 12 hours.
Wow.
I get home late at night the next day, which would have been Monday, early morning. I'm up at the ICU. I meet Julie. Julie hugs me. She punches in the code. They open the door to the ICU. We get in the ICU, and there's a man, and he's in bed. And I've never seen any individual so plugged into machinery and tubes coming out of the side, out of his mouth, every orifice you can think. And everything that was hooked up to this man was keeping him alive. His eyes were open. The doctors said he's brain dead. They wanted to end his life and unplug him. I took my hat off. I prayed for about 3 minutes. And all of a sudden, when my prayer, I said, let him speak, God. And he did. And the words are exactly what I'm going to tell you now. He said, it's the wrong medicine. My brain is swollen and it's going to take time for me to heal. So I ended my prayer. I told Julie, and Julie just couldn't believe it. And then I went home. And at that time, Bill's mom came in. I never met Bill's mom. She didn't know why I was there. She was this beautiful little elderly lady come in and she hugged me. But when she held me, she knew. She knew something. And she just said, thank you. And then I left. Now I'm at home. I'm wondering what's going on. And I'm getting text messages from Julie and the phone calls. She said, the poop hit the fan. The ICU is going crazy and they're making up excuses and you ain't going to believe this. They read the charts and the neurologist said, take the IVs out of him. It's the wrong medicine, just like I said. Wow. His brain is swollen, just like I said. Sure enough, we're about, over a year now. Bill's home. He's like you and I. He's living. He's alive. He's slowly recovering. It was a miracle. We called it the miracle, the Christmas miracle. And it was a bittersweet because in the end of this story, and it's in the book, she's been on shows with me and talked about it in her letter. Everything in the book, folks, that we're talking about has letters from families, has testimonials from the police, has all the text messages, emails, everything behind the scenes that normal people don't get to see that a psychic profiler has been brought on scene and solved these cases. So she, after giving me my hug, I just felt something different. After Bill came out of the coma, she ended up passing away, his mom. Mm-hmm. So it was a bittersweet. It was just within just days. So, you know, it was just unbelievable. It was like she was sent there to know that her son was going to be okay, and that was okay with her. And that was her final goodbye.
Yeah, and she got to thank you for that too. Wow, did you know that about her? Did you know that was going to happen or not?
You know, with the drive coming up and being so, we were filming from Friday till Sunday nonstop, like maybe 2 hours sleep, and then driving 12 hours to get here. It was very dangerous getting back because nodding off and what have you. But then getting here and being so exasperated and tired, I did not clue into her because I was so focused on him, but I knew there was something different because when she held me, she had the strength of 10 men. I mean, I couldn't pull myself away from her. That's how strong she was. It was amazing.
But you know what? I think that, you know what you need to know or what you're looking for, and you're not going to know like everything, you know? So that's okay not to know that kind of thing. You are focused on something else, and it wasn't even meant for you to know that at that point. That might have distracted you a little bit more, right? You know, so.
That's true.
That's amazing. Now, I know you have a major, major faith. And so here's my question on, I don't know the verses, forgive me, you may. There's verses that say, hey, this psychic stuff, no good. So what do you say about that? Because you are a man of faith and you do this and you help save lives and give family closure and all these really wonderful things. So what do you say to that?
God has put spirit into us and that we have is the temple of God. So we are to utilize whatever God has given us. Now, I know you and I discussed before the show that, you know, people who are of faith look at this and say, oh, it's evil. It's that. But I'm going to be very frank and honest. I've done hundreds and hundreds of cases, you know, all of the states, Australia, England, Canada, everywhere. People of faith who are, and I don't like the term because I don't like being called Bible thumper. I don't like that. But when you look at somebody who has so strong faith, but they're the ones who call me, can you help me? My daughter's gone, missing. But they turn from that to saying, can you help? Sure enough, you know, Jesus would never, or God would never, and that's my faith, I'm not putting this on anybody, this is mine, would never turn the back on me or anybody else, so I'm going to do what I can. I just look at it that in that light. It's not evil, because what I'm doing, is it not evil? If I'm bringing people home alive and I'm saving a man who is going to be unplugged from wrongful medical practice that saved his life and he's alive with his family and they have him now, he's not dead, or I find the murderer who killed little Caesar Cano in Kentucky and he's in jail, I mean, is that bad?
I totally agree. I believe it's a gift, and I believe we all have it. Some have just matured more than others and have been nurtured more of their abilities. What do you think? Do you think everybody has these abilities?
Yeah, everybody has intuition. You know, I grew up in my life learning on my own. No one taught me. I knew my mother knew. It was different from me. And then when I came into my own and at an adolescent, my first book was in 2003 when I wrote it. My first 1-hour television special was in 2003. So, you know, going back that time and explaining that my peers, if they ever found out, they would I'd be crushed because I'd be, you know, there's that creepy guy, or, you know, so I had to learn on my own and come full forward with this. So yeah, when other people have intuition, absolutely. Do other people have stronger abilities? Absolutely. You know, I say that in all good faith, because again, we all are a spirit. We all come from God, and that's the truth.
You know, you were talking about your mom and how she could not tell you about your sister because of the way times were back then. It, you know, wasn't all that long ago, was it? Still in the dark ages back then, right? You couldn't be honest about things and you had to do things a certain way. Do you believe that, you know, obviously you had said, you know, do I have a sister? And she never said anything to you. Did she all, and she knew you had abilities. Did she also have abilities? Is that where you got them from?
You know, my mom, yeah, I know my mom had abilities. She was very soft and kind, very, very people-oriented. And she used to tell me, all faiths. And it was funny, she used to have a Buddha in her house. We were Catholic. She had Nefertiti. She had all these things. And I used to say, think in my head, why all this when we're Catholic, we're growing up? All faith. In my foreword, in my first book, and this is a great way to explain this to you, I write down, I'm in a dream, but it's not a dream, and I'm walking down this road across a bridge. And during the road, there's all these temples, synagogues, churches, places of worship, and they all lead to the footstool to where I'm going across this bridge. And that's the place we're all called sanctuary, heaven, paradise, or what have you. That's what she thought. That's how she would brought me up. That's how I was instilled with the understanding of we're all God's children.
Mm. What a neat lady. Sounds like she's a pretty neat lady, but seems like she had to hold back a lot of stuff too, though, from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Man.
But you already knew it, and she might have known that you knew it. So you kind of have a little catch-22 thing going on there, right?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's neat. Well, you know, it is an amazing book, the one that I've read, and you go into detail, and you very well written to where you can follow it, and very creepy and scary along the way too, of the things that you have to deal with. When, I don't want to leave another cliffhanger here, but when, you know, some of the people again that I know do similar stuff, they will have methods and techniques and things that they do beforehand to prepare, and that's the way they come up with their answers. When we come back, I'm going to ask you what those things are and if you do that at all. So psychic profiler Robbie Thomas is who we're talking to. Man, he's got some stories, huh? Wow. Well, stick around with us. Thanks for listening. This is Connie Willis. I hope you're doing okay and not partying too hard with that green liquid that you guys are drinking. Make sure you get home safe tonight. It's Coast to Coast AM you're listening to. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, wrapping it up almost. Oh, this is a great conversation with Robbie Thomas, psychic profiler. We've had a great show tonight. Earlier, Brian Bland talking about the spiritual side of Sasquatch, as well as the relationship, connection, and the language, and all the communication across the board. And now, as I said, psychic profiler Robbie Thomas with us. Robbie, let me just ask you real quick. What about, you know, you're into the psychic abilities and the intuition and all this heightened awareness. What about Bigfoot?
Yeah, what about Bigfoot and UFOs and what have you? I was, again, going back to my younger years as a child, laying down on the lawn while my mother used to put the laundry in the line with the clothespins. And I'd lay up and look at the sky, and I said to her, when do you think that the other angels are going to come, Mom? And she goes, you mean the ones from heaven? I said, no, the other angels. I was speaking about aliens. So you have, again, so you're talking, you know, age three, maybe two, three. And, yeah, you know, different realms, different things in this life, creatures in our world, dimensions, travel. It's there. It's true. I know people go, oh my gosh. Some will say, yeah, I agree, and a lot of people won't. But you know, me to sit here and just tell you this, and then say, you know, I have an officer who sends me a photograph of a lady in a case file that she's missing and she's endangered, and I find her within an hour. And they send out hundreds of police officers to find her a city away, and they bring her home, and she's safe. Well, then I can tell you, yeah, there, you know, UFOs and different creatures and things. Yes, it's true. I mean, God never stopped making the universe, and there's so much that we're learning. We're human, and there's so much that we're learning, and we need to learn as well.
I'm curious about... are you familiar with David Politis and the Missing 411 books?
You know, that is something I had a producer. It's funny you say that. I had a producer last year say, we want to go to the parks because there's people that are just gone missing, just missing. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, children that are playing together, and two of them will go in one direction, and the other one, and they're very, really close to the camp where their mom and dads can see them, and one just take off and go high, but then gone missing. And that one child will be found, or was found, miles and miles away, and the way the child would have had to get there would have been through the thicket of all the wood, and it would be impossible. You know, yeah, so, you know, I look at stuff like that, and I almost agreed to do something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's pretty interesting. I know. I mean, if you're good at that, that would be awesome to learn about that, as well as, you know, my gosh, I know that just in general, not even thinking that it could be anything, you know, out of the ordinary, but even people that just go hiking and an animal attacks them, or they just fall off of a cliff, and or they stray off the trail and get lost, or you know, any of these types of things. How interesting for you to be able to find out the answers to that. It's amazing. You truly blessed. Is that how you feel, that you've just been truly blessed with this and you are here for a reason? Do you also, and I think you already said yes to that, but do you also believe you might have been reincarnated and brought back, is because you have that knowledge as a young child?
Great question. And I used to tell my mother, my other father, I was over top of him and he cried for me. And I would explain to her that I was walking to school, and as I turned to wave to my father, I was hit by a car. And then I was reincarnated as who I am now. And I went through great detail explaining his house, him, and I literally felt sadness right up until around age 30. Now, I know this bothered my father, because my father in real life here now, because I used to talk about it all the time, how I had this yearning for him. And the pivotal point, and the way I can explain it to people, is when you're a reincarnate, at the age you get taken off of that other plane or that other life, that's the pivotal moment. That's the really draw. So I was 6 years of age. So up until age six, and just beyond a little past age six, it was so strong. I used to talk about it and talk about him so definitively, and just, you know, my love for him and missing him. And then at age 30, it finally just kind of like dwindled away. But that is the soul connection in the realm of being a reincarnate.
Now, and again, I'm going to ask you this just because you're a man of faith, and that's, it says, Again, I don't know the verses, but it says something about reincarnation is not real, or it's bad, or something about that, or it's not real. And also, again, about psychic abilities, stay away. That's, I don't know what it says, something about being bad. I don't know if it said witchery or whatever. But these things are looked down upon. Yet, here you are saying, hey, this is a gift, and I'm using it in the right ways. So my question, I agree with you. My question is, why does it say that there in the Bible that's not good and that's not real?
We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. You know, and I'm not saying this in any fashion, and I hope the listeners are listening, to be mean or rash or any way at all. I'm just explaining. In the Old Testament, it looked like we had a very angry God, because people I've heard that on different shows, and how it was explained in that fashion of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. You know, again, it goes back to, we are spirit. Spirit is instilled within us. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. So, in other words, he had passed, and then he rose him from the dead. That's God doing that. God will choose the individual in this life that we have, and he's chosen many to do his work, be it a priest, be it a monk, be it you, be it me, be it Joe down the street. And I have a thing I always say, too, is I know at any moment God could say, you're done, you've done your job, and now it's Tom's turn down in Kentucky or Ohio. You know, that's just the way it is. I don't feel bad about this. I used to feel it was cursed, you know, as a child growing up, and thinking, why am I seeing this? Why is this happening? My children have this ability.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. How many kids do you have?
Yeah. I have three daughters with my wife, my present wife.
Ooh, all those women. Okay. Good for you. Do all three of them have it, or one or two, or?
No, all three of them have it.
Wow.
We bought this home that we live in, and it was a miracle, because the lady who put it on sale, her mom and dad helped her remodel the home, and they said they're going on vacation, the mom and dad did, and they got hit by a semi-truck and were killed. So Gina put the house up for sale, and we bought it. I wasn't even looking for a home, and we just bought it. It was a miracle. We get in here, a lot of activity in this home. My wife has seen, my daughters have seen, and I remember Mac McKenzie, when you walk up on the third level and you go towards Jesse's room, there's a little turn, and it goes about 3 feet to the door, and then you get to Jesse's room. Well, Mac always wanted to play with Jesse's makeup. So Mac made a right turn, and then we hear a scream. Mac comes running, and she dropped down on the first level of stairs, boom, 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 boom. The next level, boom, 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 gets to us, runs into the living room, and she screamed, the boy's face, the boy's face, and it was right there. So she's seen the boy that I've seen running in the house. And this is really, I wrote this in Signs from Heaven, my other book. Gina, her son, was staying in the room that Cherish stayed in, and there was a lot of activity in that room. And so the doctor put him on Ritalin because he thought he had ADHD, but it wasn't. He was hearing what my daughters were hearing and seeing, and he was trying to explain this. So when Gina moved out of the house, Cherish obviously took that room, and then my wife's in bed, and all of a sudden she says, she pulls the cover over, she goes, oh my gosh, someone said, will you play with me? And I said, what? So I talked to Gina, she goes, oh my gosh, my mom used to go to Michael's room and say the prayer, the Catholic prayer, pray with me. So that's what the child was doing, was saying to my wife, can you come and say, pray with me?
Oh, wow. Why do they stick around?
Free will. I know a lot of people say, oh, they're trapped. Free will. How do I explain to you? Going from here to heaven is like just a step. it's just right there, the veil, like everybody talks, it's right there. We're free will. We can come and go. It's not like we go home and then God goes, you stay here. We're free will. The residual energy, a lot of different paranormal individuals will talk about residual energy that stays at that time with that happening, of that person who had murdered, that energy stays there, so they keep repeating themselves. They're trapped. It's actually spirit is free will.
You know what, though? It kind of sounds like, you know, people just in general, sometimes you said it's a step away for to go to heaven. So, you know, just people in general in life, they have fear and they won't take an easy step in growth and maturity in their own life for different things, whatever it might be, just in our own world here. Do you think it's kind of a fear-related thing as well, that I don't know what's next? You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people fear death. They fear the inevitable. You know, that's true. It's a given. They fear, they just say the other side, a knowing of it, or spirits. Call it ghosts. No, they're people. You know, they're people. I always teach and I always have taught that they're people on the other side. We go from here. I don't want to be called a ghost. I'm going to be called Rob, because if I, you know, come back and visit my loved ones and what have you, the easiest way, a lot do travel back and visit are in dreams, and they dream so they don't freak people out. You know, when you say the spirit is trapped and in that essence, you know, again, I'm going to say with the same thing, go to Kentucky really quick. Little Kennel was murdered. Right? I know. I've done so many cases.
Poor Kentucky.
Amazing. But also in Kentucky. Little
and real quick, too,
murdered.
By the way.
Yeah. And he was, it was alive when I was tapping into where he was, because I was getting all the information. And on my website, the people could see my drawings and everything and the mugshot of the murderer. But I was getting all the beforehand details. And then all of a sudden there was a pull away, and I knew he was being murdered. And then I was getting him, Caesar, because I was using my guides and angels to help me. And I prayed to God to help again, like I did for Bill, who was in the hospital. But I was asking for information, and then all of a sudden there was a pull away. And it was a long one. And I felt, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? I'm upset. But then he came back in. And then now I'm actually getting from Caesar, and he's still here, but he's telling me the murderer's name. He gave me his name so that I can get back to the police. And not only did he get to the police, but proves everything that's true about this story is I got my media coordinator to mail all the information to the actual news station in Kentucky and the detective, so that they had corresponding information, seeing that it went everywhere and everybody knew what I was giving to them.
Unbelievable. Okay, real quick, because I had promised to ask you this, so you'll have to tell me kind of quickly here. Do you have methods or any way you prepare before you go to a case?
Yeah, I pray a lot. I pray all day long, all the time. You know, I get off that plane, and if I'm in Washington or if I'm in Ohio or Indiana or wherever I am, I'm praying. Mm-hmm. And I have photographs. Sometimes I have the case in front of me or whatever, and I'm praying, and I pray with the officers before I even go on and do the case.
All right.
Where I draw my strength. I know that's where it comes from.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us, Robbie. I appreciate that. You guys, all his information is on our website. Take care, Robbie. Thank you, okay?
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Had to run off there, but I wanted him to finish. Thanks as well to Brian Bland earlier, as well as Robbie. And thank you guys for joining me tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. If so, let us know. From the KOA News Radio Denver studios of iHeartMedia, I'm Connie Willis, and I want to thank a lot of people here. Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Dan Galani, Chris Burrows, Stephanie Smith, Tommy Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Greg Bishop, Sean LaDesour, Tim Banal, Gina Savalti, Marlene Shrey, excuse me, Tony B, Donna Walker, Mike Cosio, I'm going to call him Mike Costio, George Knapp, Greg Foster, Mike Wolf, Angie Sillow, and George Norrie, of course. And thank all of you again. Join me on my YouTube channel, Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, or go to my new interactive site of BlueRockTalk.com. I really hope that you'll do that. It's exciting. It's new. And hey, I'm going to have Robbie on next week. So, like a little after party. So until we meet again, please keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.